Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Oh, it's my favourite time of the week. Carl O'Sullivan is with me in studio today to bring us some happy, some joyous news from around the country. How's things?
Good. It's my favourite time of the week as well, Andrew.
It's nice. It's just nice to talk about the good stuff as well, despite all the negativity. I couldn't believe this when I heard it earlier this morning. Who knew we were the fastest? It's a suicide rap.
Yes, Andrea, Irish runners are actually the fastest in the world.
That's mad.
Now, I suppose this comes with the caveat that it's been a study done by Garmin.
Ireland.
Well, no, it's all over the world. But it's a study into running and cycling. And it shows a global rise in the activity of running. Yeah. But I suppose you have to think of the people at the Olympics and different things like that. And they're obviously the fastest representing their nations at like
they're
the top
actually
class
the fastest.
Level. This is kind of across an average distance and different things like that. The study tracked metrics including mileage, pace, resting heart rate, different things like that. But it showed that runners in Ireland lead the world with the fastest average pace, clocking in at 9 minutes, 9 seconds per mile. So I'd often consider things in kilometres as well, but the average global run was around 7.75 kilometres. So if you're thinking about that, like, a lot of people would run 5Ks and different things like that at a pace of kind of in between 4 and kind of 7 minutes. That's the like average around. But not only that, the time that people averaged was around 50 minutes spent running. And that was in the 60 to 69 age category.
Is it that we are one of the fastest, or we are the fastest nation in the world for running, not at an elite level, but just at a sort of an amateur level? Or is it that we're just better at bragging about it and posting about it? Like, there's no point in going for a run if you're not going to share your Strava or your
this
Garmin
is it.
Post.
I do get a little bit of flack for that online. That yeah. I run, but I run my 5K or my 7K and I post on my Instagram story. But if it boosts your mental health, and I suppose your benefit is coming from that and kind of a bit of interaction between people who also enjoy running, what harm? But yeah, I think it's more so that Irish runners are doing it consistently.
Isn't it unbelievable that
they're consistent, such a, despite not being the fastest, they are doing it so often that they're kind of gaining that average pace of kind of maybe 8 to 9 minutes per mile or per kilometre.
Yeah. Our dedication to it is obviously
good. You see the amount of 5Ks, the amount of 10Ks, the amount of park runs, marathons, half marathons.
If only I could get myself into gear, it'd be great. Now, tell us about this, because we were actually only chatting about this last week.
Yes, seem out there reacting to Olivia Rodrigo last week. Here we had it on the show, singing her song "When a Good Man Cries" on BBC Radio 1's Live Lounge. Well, not only that, the story has gone a little bit further, and Olivia Rodrigo was on BBC Radio 1 in person with Greg James this week. And she was promoting her new album, You Seem Pretty Sad for a Girl So in Love. And they were talking about kind of the CMAT track and how viral it had gone and how much CMAT was loved.
It was super.
And during the interview, CMAT called Olivia Rodrigo live there. And Olivia Rodrigo had to admit to her that some initial confusion came with the lyrics containing the word Dunboyne.
I literally lost it. It's so funny.
I'm happy I pronounced it right. I had a moment where I was like, wait, what if I mispronounce it? The first time I did listen to it, I thought it was Des Moines. There's a place in America called Des Moines. But since then, I've done my research on Des Moines. And now you have to take me.
I don't know if you know, but there's a giant mural of me on the side of the wall going into the village.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
And I think that if I brought you, they would put a mural of you on the other side.
Let's do it. Stand me up. We're going to pull up. We'll play a show.
Oh, that's absolutely amazing. I love it. There'll be an Olivia Rodrigo mural on the side of some building in Dunboyne somewhere.
No, they just need Andrea Gilligan one in Ballyshannon.
Highly unlikely. But anyway, I love the connection between CMAT and Olivia. Yeah, it's brilliant.
And they got her a jersey. CMAT obviously released. We spoke about that before as well. The O'Neill's merch that she released last year. And you saw that everywhere around St. Anne's Park two weeks ago when she played there. But she got her a jersey. So hopefully the two might meet in person soon.
Tell us about this World Cup icon.
Just want to say a massive thank you first to you, Valen. It's been a pretty crazy 48 hours. to say the least. I just wanted to also express that I'm very grateful to be representing my country at this World Cup, and I appreciate all the love from all around the world.
So that's Tim Payne, Andrea. You might know him to name, but he was actually the least known footballer in the world as of last week.
Right.
And a Brazilian influencer called Valen Scarcini, or also known as El Scarzo, went in search. He was like, right, the World Cup is coming up. There's 48 teams of 23 man per squad. Who is the least known player? Who is the underdog of this World Cup? And after searching through all 48 teams, he identified Tim Payne from New Zealand, or the All Whites as they're called, and the soccer team down there.
Yeah.
He had 4,700 followers on Instagram. So that was the least followers, according to him, from all the players. And this guy in Argentina, he has like millions of followers. So he called on his followers to go and share the love with Tim Payne on Instagram. And Tim Payne woke up the next day after having 4,000 followers to having 5 million followers.
Oh my God.
So he is now one of the most known players around the world. And he's receiving all this love online. And he plays kind of professional football in New Zealand, which is... It is professional football, but it's not as global as like the Premier League or anything like that, or the Champions League. And now he's become this household name, and everyone is following his journey to the World Cup and waiting to see Tim Payne on a world stage.
Amazing. That's why he's here, for reasons to be happy.
This is it. It's an underdog story, and people are going to be following his story throughout the World Cup, and New Zealand kick off their campaign this weekend. I think all eyes will be on him.
Now, the best county in the country to raise a family has been revealed.
Oh, the green and red Mayo, I can see it still. It's soft and craggy boglands, it's tall majestic hills.
Yes, why Mayo?
Well, Mayo has been named the best county in Ireland to raise a family. And it's because, I suppose, it takes in a lot of considerations, Andrea, this survey. It's house prices, it's school quality, it's local amenities, and... these all comes into, I suppose, what families consider when they move to a local town or a different county or different things like that. But not only that, they just have, I suppose, a low crime rate is also, but offers a balanced lifestyle. And we've heard before in the past that Castlebar was the best town in the country to have a work from home kind of balance, a work-life balance. So I suppose people are looking to move out of big cities and different things.
Less traffic.
Yeah.
Train to Westport.
This is it, Andrea. Living out west. Well, Donegal comes in second place.
Yeah.
So Donegal takes the silver medal, standing out as the most budget-friendly option in the top tier, with the median house price of just over
165,000.
And an impressive 171 primary schools in the county.
Loads
Kerry takes third place, and Sligo and Clare. What I noticed about all these counties is they all have a beach, Andrea.
Yeah.
They're all on the coast.
You know, when like you're heading away from traffic, congestion, the hustle and bustle, all that goes with it. Like, I know so many people who've moved back home to Donegal, you know, since COVID or in the aftermath of the last couple of years, and they love it. It's a brilliant place to
absolutely great place to raise kids. So great news for people in Mayo this week.
Finally,
next course, fire.
I spent so much time running from this place. It turned out to be the best spot for me.
You did this.
Everybody did this.
Have each other's backs every night.
I look at you all and I love you so much.
This is how we keep this place alive.
Yes, Andrea, fans of The Bear will recognise that is Carmi Borsato, or Jeremy Allen White's voice there throughout the trailer. Season 5 is coming to Disney Plus.
I watched the first one and I enjoyed it, but I didn't love it.
I think you might have to return. It's one of those shows that you kind of have to give a little bit of love to and just kind of enjoy the slog of it and kind of get it, really enjoy the characters. Season 5, the final season, comes to Disney Plus on June 25th. Again, I'm not going to spoil anything for fans out there, because obviously they won't, or people who are maybe like you on season 3 or season 4. There's a big threat to the restaurant. There's hopes to get another Michelin star, or their first Michelin star, and lots of drama, Andrea.
Good stuff. We love that. Cathal O'Sullivan, thanks a million for bringing a little bit of good news to our Wednesday afternoon. Thanks so much for your time on the programme today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.